Welcome back into Press Row here in the Home Rate Mortgage Studios at ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a safe and terrific Thursday. Well, it is a pleasure to welcome back into Press Row Ben Baby, who does a great job of covering Texas A&M and a lot of colleges throughout the Lone Star State for the Dallas Morning News. And Ben, thank you so much, especially considering Texas A&M's in flux right now. I know you're a busy guy, so thank you so much for joining us. Tennessee obviously now turning its attention to Kevin Sumlin. In your opinion, what would keep Sumlin from taking this job?
Now, first off, thanks for having me. I know it's a busy time for everybody this time of year. You know, I think the one thing Kevin Sumlin's got to look at is, does he want to go back into the SEC? And I don't think it's not a question of, you know, is he good enough to coach at Tennessee? Because I think he's done, the record shows that he's done fairly well, and he's been better than his peers in the SEC since his time at the A&M. You know, but the question is for him, you know, does he want to subject himself to the scrutiny that comes with being in the SEC that you can kind of escape, you know, in other conferences in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten? In other places, it's not so much of a pressure cooker. You wonder where he's at mentally after 6 years, you know, especially the last couple where he, you know, everything was hot seat this, hot seat that, you know, going back to the last two seasons, not just this year. And so you wonder if that's something he wants to sign up for. You know, if I'm him, I kind of hold out and just wait for Jeff Brohm to leave Purdue and then just go take that job. That's what I would do if I was him. But, you know, maybe he wants to come back in the SEC and show people that he can do it, you know, that this is not something that's, it's not something that is too challenging or too daunting for him. But, you know, for him, there's no wrong options. And Tennessee desperately needs some way to fill that gap, because right now, from the outside, it just looks like that place is a dumpster fire right now.
It certainly has been for the last several days. I'm curious, Arizona State, you heard Sumlin early as a possible candidate there. It's been a lot of Herm Edwards talk lately. What do you know about Sumlin's potential of going to Tempe?
You know, I've seen everything that's been reported. I have no idea what Arizona State's doing right now, if they're looking at Herm Edwards, frankly. You know, whenever that job opened up, it seemed like Kevin Sumlin was a no-brainer to get him in the Pac-12, a school that he was already looking at before. You know, I don't know how seriously, but he looked at that job before he took the A&M job back in 2011, and that seemed like an absolute no-brainer to everybody that was, you know, the prize of the situation. And then for Arizona State to come out and, you know, for them to say, we want to keep the same staff, we want to do it this way, do it that way, you know, it sounds like the AD is really being you know, a little overbearing in that sense, and I don't know what coach would want to sign up for that, to be honest. But yeah, I don't understand why they've moved on to Herm Edwards, and you know, I think Kevin would have been a very solid choice over there, but you know, I think it didn't work out, and so we'll see what happens. I think he shouldn't stay on the market very long. I mean, he wasn't what A&M needed, but I think somebody will eventually take him and hire him as a coach.
All right, and for our listeners out there who are wondering why our guest would say he would wait and replace Jeff Brohm at Purdue, Kevin Sumlin was a linebacker at Purdue during the mid-1980s. You're listening to Ben Baby of the Dallas Morning News. Ben, when you think of Kevin Sumlin, my only dealings with him are in Hoover from a distance and every Wednesday on the SEC teleconference. And you know this because I hear you on the SEC teleconference too. When Sumlin doesn't like a question, he can kind of be pissy and give like a one-word answer or two-word answer. I'm curious, you know how things work in Knoxville. You know how every thing Butch Jones said was under a microscope, and then it, you know, 30 minutes later it could become a meme. How do you think Kevin Sumlin, knowing him in that type of setting, how do you think that would play in Knoxville if every single thing he said was really nitpicked?
That's a very interesting question. I don't know how Kevin would deal with that. I know how he can be, you know, very, very snippy at times. Usually it's when he's doing well. That's the thing. I think when things are going well is when he's a little shorter with his answers. And so when he's not doing so well, he tends to open up a little bit more, and you'll get a lot of leash, you know, even if he's not too fond of you, he'll still answer your questions. So, you know, I think he's fine in press conferences. Like, I've been in a Jason Garrett press conference, the head coach of the Cowboys, and I'd rather be in a Kevin Sumlin presser, even if he's going to be short, than a Jason Garrett presser. I think he'll be fine in that sense. But, you know, I think it goes back to that point, does Kevin Sumlin want to be in that kind of fishbowl again? Because, you know, he just got out of that in the SEC.
You're listening to Ben Baby, does a great job covering Texas A&M for the Dallas Morning News. You're listening to Ben here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Ben, I know there's been a lot of national chatter about the job opening that Kevin Sumlin left. There's even been some reports that Jimbo has said yes. What are you hearing on that job at the moment?
You know, right now, the Board of Regents at A&M have a meeting at 2:30. So roughly 15 minutes here, where they're expected to go over the parameters of a contract that they could offer a coach. I highly doubt a name is going to be given. You know, the minutes for the meeting say that no action will be taken. So that means they will not be approving a contract or a hire. But I think it's going to give Scott Woodward, the athletic director, a little bit of leash to make a hire. At this point, everybody that can do simple math should be able to put two and two together. The fact that Jimbo hasn't went out and just denied the job. And then on the flip side, you haven't heard a second name come out of A&M's mouth.
Well, that was
there's no backup name, you know. And so I would think that it's got to be Jimbo or bust at this point, because it's too late in the process, on both sides to really start throwing out other names, because everybody wants their coaching situation essentially wrapped up by this weekend if they can. You got that early signing date on the 20th, so you want to get things squared away and you want to start moving on as quickly as possible. So, you know, if A&M misses on Jimbo, I don't really know what's going to happen there, because, you know, do you try to go get Justin Fuente at the 11th hour? Do you try to see if you can talk, you know, some other high-profile coaches to come out? And then, if you can't, how's your fan base going to react? So right now they're putting the full court press on Jimbo, but the longer this plays out, the longer it should be in A&M's favor for them to land their guy.
I'm curious, because you kind of addressed my immediate follow-up, that if it's not Jimbo, then who? I'm curious, as the rest of the nation kind of watches in awe the way the Vol fan base has reacted on social media and the way that kind of the tail is wagging the dog, I'm certain, I believe, and I'm curious on what your thoughts are on this, I believe that ADs now have got to move quickly and emphatically, and one or two no's hits the panic button. Does that sound like the new narrative?
You know, I think it just falls on the AD. You got to be confident. This goes on any coach. Like, if you can't do this, you have no business being at the SEC.
Right.
And, you know, what you got to do is just handle your business, know that you're doing the right thing, and if not, then yeah, sure, you're going to get fired or whatever, but you've got to at least have the confidence to go out and execute your job. You know, like, if a writer was sitting here wondering what was going to happen on the message boards after every story, that writer would be awful. You know, you can't sit here and wonder what the message boards are going to do or what people are going to say. You've got to go out and do what you think is best for your program and then move on. And if fans don't like it, you got to say, you got to trust me. And if not, then oh well. I think that falls on John Curry. You know, I think he didn't handle that very well, and they let that situation get the best of him. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of backlash no matter who Tennessee hires. It became, you know, such a mess. You know, either you go from the jump and you shoot down these John Gruden reports, say this is what we want. You know, I think you could talk about this situation for a number of days. We'll all be waiting for the documentary to drop. But, you know, I think if he can somehow salvage his hire, this will be good for him. But yeah, this has been quite an ordeal to watch from a distance. I can't imagine what it's like over there right now.
All right. Well, and you, like David, you guys are accomplished and professional beat writers. You report news, don't offer opinion. I'm kind of in an opposite camp now. My question for you, now that Sumlin's gone, do you believe he's a good football coach?
Yeah, I think I can talk freely on this now because I don't cover him anymore. I think Sumlin's a very good coach. I mean, you look at what he's done, his record here, by the numbers in the SEC, very few guys have been plus 500 across the board. And he was able to do that in his time here. He was able to lift A&M's culture from, an old stoic, military type atmosphere, to a place that kids thought was cool, which was very difficult. Man, I grew up in Texas. Texas A&M wasn't always the cool school to go to. And I think he made it slightly cooler, if that means anything, which I think on the recruiting trail, it means a lot. But ultimately, he was fired because he did not, push A&M to that next level. When you make, when your salary's top 10 in the country, you've got to produce that kind of program. And that's what A&M wanted. They weren't able to get that out of him. And so now you have to go get a Jimbo Fisher to hopefully move on and get to that point. But I think Kevin will do fine somewhere else. I think especially if he lands in the Big Ten, I think if he opens up that offense, wherever he's at, I think he's going to do really, really well. But I think a lot of people, when he got fired at A&M, said it shouldn't take him long to find another job. So I expect him to find another spot eventually here, sooner rather than later.
And, Ben, I know you need to run, and this is the last question. I'm curious if you've coached the guy. You know what kind of buyout he just received. Do you think he just, in your gut, do you think he sits this year out and then goes back in next year?
I think if something doesn't come up that he likes, that's what he will do, and that's what he should do. Because at this point, you know, once you've been fired from a job, you really can't take a bad job, you know, because then that makes the rest of your career so much more difficult. And as someone at A&M told me recently, he goes, you know, if you sit out a year, everyone's going to forget the bad and only remember the good, like with Chip Kelly. You know, Chip Kelly's going to come in and you get the chance to be a savior of a program, just hot names just sitting around. A lot of people are going to find that attractive, you know, and he's got 5 million, 10 million to sit around with. So if he doesn't like something, I think it's probably in his best interest to take some time off and just kind of hang out for a year and then see what else comes up on the market. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens. And I'm curious as to what happens here with him in Tennessee.
Ben, thank you. I'm in agreement. I think history will look favorably on Kevin Sumlin, even though he's a guy who got fired. I mean, he was certainly better than the Mike Sherman era, the Dennis Franchione era. And listen, we really appreciate you taking some time, especially right before this meeting you've got to head into. We really appreciate you joining us here on Press Row.
No problem. Y'all take care.
All right. Ben Baby does a great job with the Dallas Morning News covering Texas A&M, talking a little Kevin Sumlin as it relates to the coaching vacancy at Tennessee. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.